Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Lech Lecha. I'd like to spend a few minutes discussing some points in the parasha that hopefully we can try to apply to our life from the lessons from Avram Avinu. Of course, we know that Avram, the beginning of all the Avos, the first of the Avos, it's not by coincidence that his name, Avraham, the first letters, Aleph, meaning the first Avraham, Aleph, and Beis. And this is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, because Avraham is the beginning of Klal Yisrael. And the parasha begins, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, lech lecha, mi'artzecha, mi'miladetcha, mi'beis avicha, al haaretz asher echa. Hashem tells Avraham to pick himself up from his comfort zone and to go somewhere else. There are sometimes biographies written on great leaders of Klal Yisrael, and the person reads the biography and he sometimes, the way it's written, forgets that this person who we just read about was a human being who had challenges, just like we all do. But sometimes the way things are written, that at the age of 7, he finished a third of Shas. At the age of 13, he finished Shas twice. And it goes on and on. It doesn't discuss sometimes the fact that this is a human being who had challenges, just like we all do. Avram Avinu was a human being who elevated himself to be like a malach. But he had this is an isayin, this is a challenge. A person would say, what's the big deal? You pick yourself up. We all like to go on a little vacation. So here's the vacation time. Avraham Avinu was also picking himself up and traveling to a place. Imagine you put in the GPS, you press go or home, but there's nothing typed in. And it's just going somewhere. And you have no idea where you're going. Someone told me recently that they were selling a house and buying a house. And they sold their house and then they went to buy their house. And while they were buying their house, they backed out. The people who were selling their house to them, a house that they wanted to buy, they backed out. They said there was one night they were literally homeless. I mean, they didn't sleep in the street. They went to the parents' house. But they didn't have their house because they sold it. They didn't put a clause that they will only sell their house if they can buy a new house. And the one that was selling the house to them, for whatever reason, backed out. And the person said, it's a frightening thought. You don't know what's going to be the next day. And they had tremendous hashkacha pratis and siyad d'shmaya, how they were able to buy a house that the seller would only sell a house to them if they had a clause in it, the one who was going to buy it, that they would not be able to back out, that it's dependent upon if they have another house to buy on. Because he didn't want to get stuck in a situation also. So they happen to have been in that category, and they're able to buy a house which is even better than the first one. But to bring out the point over here is, Lech lecha, mi'artzecha, mi'ladetcha, mi'beis avicha. Pick yourself up from your comfort zone. It's brought down that by men, it's more difficult for men to change around to new surroundings, to become more comfortable, new surroundings. Women who have this ability to do many tasks in one time, to be multitasking is an understatement. Doesn't mean a man cannot be multitasking, but women have a natural talent in this. They're easier to adapt to new surroundings.
Is this based on a Jewish source, or is this based on contemporary psychology?
I've heard this from psychological sources, psychology. Yes, but I've also heard it from a Jewish source. Aaron Feldman, Shlita Rishiv in Israel, he explains that this concept that we say Noshen Daitin Kalos, that women are their das, their mind is kalos, light. One connotation, one explanation for this is that they're able to switch quickly and easily in easy situations from one mindset to another mindset. as opposed to by men, they have to be focused and do one thing at a time, and if you have to switch to something else, it's just, it's not as, they're not as comfortable with that. We're taking all this into account, and Hashem says, pick yourself up, put in your GPS to go, you don't know where you're going. But it's not only that, it's a situation where Avram Avinu, at this point in his life, was one man against the world. As we'll see, it's even stronger when the battles arise against all the other people. What does it mean to be one man against the whole world? Well, let's give a little mushel, and we can just use this street right here in front of us. A person starts walking on Montgomery Avenue, and everybody knows he believes in one God. Everybody knows that the rest of the world, they believe in paganism, and they believe in all this other foreign crazy stuff that's out there. And he's walking down the street. And then they take out the tomatoes and the eggs, and they throw it at him and say, "You ridiculous, crazy person." And they take out their kid and they slaughter their kid to this god of the fire. And he's continuously walking down the street because he has to get to his place. Day after day after day, and they throw those eggs at him, and they throw those tomatoes at him, and they throw him into the fire. Day after day, week after week, month after month. And what happens to this person? He strengthens his belief in the Emunah Hashem. This is what's taking place. This is what Avraham Avinu went through. And this is what happened. He was thrown into the fire. And he was heckled, and he was attacked. He was viewed as a mashuga. He was viewed like he's crazy. The whole world does this crazy stuff, and he's the one who's viewed like he's crazy, of course. We live in a world, like we discussed last night, we live in a world where sometimes, many times, what's right is viewed as wrong, and what's wrong is viewed as the normal, as the norm. And we have this parasha here in front of us, Lech lecha mi'artzecha mi'landecha mi'beitz avicha el ha'aretz asher echa. It doesn't just mean literally a person has to pick himself up and move away from his birthplace. But the Torah here, it can also be telling us that when we live in a situation in the world when the hashkafic mindset, when the right is wrong and the wrong is right and everything is back and backwards and forwards, it doesn't make sense, we have to realize to go al-la'aretz asherak, to follow in the ways of Hashem. And we have an advantage that Avram didn't have. We have a destination to plug into the GPS. We have something that Avram didn't have. He didn't have that destination to go home signal. You just go. Our GPS, our go home signal is the lima, is a Torah. The Torah, the word the Torah means instructions. It directs us and instructs us how to lead and live our life. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, he tells us that in this week's parasha we learn this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask a person to do something which is beyond his control. Hashem does not give a person a test he cannot pass. Hashem will not ask somebody to do something he can't accomplish. I heard a story, I wouldn't recommend the teachers trying it today, but I heard a story years ago. A certain Rebbe, he would hold a student in a corner. In the classroom, he would hold the student in the corner, opposite where the door is. Big, strong Rebbe, and you say to him, "Open the door." And he'd look at the Rebbe, he says, "Rebbe, you're holding me down. I can't move." So the Rebbe says, No, do me a favor, go open the door." He says, "Rebbe, I don't know what you want from me. You're holding me against the wall here. I can't open the door." And he let the student go. And he said to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do that either. Hashem does not ask someone to do something he cannot accomplish. And it's important to know that. Because when we're faced in life with Nisoinus, and Avram had his 10 tests, and we all have our challenges and tests in life, we have to always remind ourselves, when we are in this battle of that Nisoyan, that we have that strength to pass it. Hashem does not ask a person to do something which is beyond his strength and abilities. A person is asked to use his kaychas and his abilities to the highest degree to come to serve Hashem. That's what it says in the Pasuk Koheles. In Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud. Kol asher timso yodcho la'asayis b'kaychacho asay. Whatever is in your ability to do, that's what you should do. Story, a famous story you know from Reb Zusha. Zusha from Annapolis, that he said over that if, when he gets to Shemayim, they're not going to ask him why he wasn't the Baal Shem Tov. If they ask me in the world to come, why wouldn't you like the Baal Shem Tov? He says, I'm not going to be afraid of such a question. Lo yisori klal. You want to ask why I'm the Baal Shem Tov? Because I'm Zusha, he's the Baal Shem Tov. How can you compare me to the Baal Shem Tov? Did I have his strength? Did I have his support from Shemayim like he did? The abilities that he had, did I have those abilities? You want to ask me in Shemayim, how come I didn't accomplish what he did? I'm not afraid. But says Reb Zusha, if you ask me a question, Aval Kishi Yomerli, if they ask me, Zusha, Lama Loi Hayisa Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? That's the question I'll be afraid of. That's a question I'll be trembling about.
I'm kind of varying to that part, which was the question.
We'll take
too much Rabbeinu.
Yeah, it could be with anybody. So, the point is that this question has to be realized, that this question is to us as well, all of us. It's not a matter of Zusha. If you're Nezna Zusha, it doesn't matter. Whatever your name is, it's the same question. We're not going to be asked, how come we weren't that great Adam Gadol? How come we weren't Moshe Rabbeinu? Zusha? How come we weren't Zusha? Hashem gives us all the abilities, all the strengths. He says a person has to use those strengths and abilities to come to serve Hashem. Then the next point he brings down here, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, is a very important point, which unfortunately many times it's just on a regular basis. Sometimes, as the Mesil Shom says, the obvious is just not followed through. It's just not understood and not followed through. He says, Hashem gives each and every one of us our own strengths. And these strengths, this teva, this nature that we have to use and go with it. He gives an example. There's a child, a young child. And the parents cannot find a babysitter for this young child. And what happens is, before they take this child to this adult event, they tell a child, listen, really you should be by the babysitter. We can't find a babysitter. You have to make sure that you don't make noise and you sit quietly and you don't disturb. So the little child's looking up there. He hears the words, he doesn't know, understand the thing the parents are saying. Three-year-old, whatever it might be. The parents arrive, the speech starts, and all of a sudden this child is sitting there. 2 minutes. Okay, he's doing so far so good. 2.5 minutes, he's managing. And then the 5-10 minutes, he's jumping around in the seat. The parents get upset. And the people around them are looking at the parents. What's the child doing here? So we can take this example and elaborate it and bring it to shul. Children belong in shul. Which children belong in shul? The children who can behave in shul. But the children that come to shul and run around in the shul and disturb the shul, it's not the child's fault, it's the parents' fault. What are you bringing the child to the shul for? What are you asking from the child? To sit in a situation where he can't sit and be quiet? He's not ready to come to shul. Sometimes what happens is that the children, they come to shul, I should say many times, so the parent says, listen, you can't disturb a shul, so you go outside of the shul. So then you have children who are running around unsupervised. I was someplace recently, and children were in such a situation, they were not being supervised, and one child did something to another child. On simplest Torah, they had to go to the hospital to get stitches, 8 stitches in the forehead. And the Rav, he made an announcement, and he said, it's like a miracle, it's like a nace, that this Baruch Hashem does not happen more often. If a child comes to shul, they have to be supervised. And to just send the children out, imagine if you had a situation in a school that children during recess would not be supervised. And Rachman Litzlan, something happens, and they have to run to get stitches. The parents would say, well, where were the teachers? There's no teachers watching. No teachers watching. How can't have teachers watching all these kids running around? Of course something's going to happen. But yet, on the regular basis, there are situations where the kids come to shul and they run around. So that Baruch Hashem, they're not making noise in shul. So now what they're doing? Well, they're destroying the outside of the shul, other parts of the shul. Mm-hmm. Maybe destroying themselves. And it's not the parents, it's not the children to blame, it's the parents. The parents have to be educated. And that's what he's bringing over here. Not to ask someone to do something which is beyond their control.
Many fools, by the way.
But his point here, of Yisrael Zilberstein, is telling us, Lech Lecha, you go with your kaychus, with your abilities, with your strengths. And the person is not asked to do something which is beyond his control. And we shouldn't be asking the children to do something which is on their control, beyond their control as well. We have to realize whose responsibility the children are.